Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. And I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff's going on lately. And we've got college and high school graduations coming up here in another month, maybe month and a half. And we've got stuff going on with high gasoline prices and everything else. I'll tell you what, it's something you have to watch out for. I don't know about you, but I don't like to get sticker shock when I go to the gas station to load up on gas because I have to make a trip to Cincinnati. Whoa. I mean, when you start getting $3.99 a gallon, it gets a little bit nasty, doesn't it? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I've got some videos to show too. So we'll get on with that. But before we do, you know, I always have to talk about Trim Radio. I have to give us a plug because, you know, if I don't, well, it kind of defeats the purpose of having the show on the air, doesn't it? Anyhow, we've got flagship shows, believe it or not. We've got Offsides College Football Season Premiere with Michael Bayhouse. We've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. That's every Wednesday live at 8 p.m. And we have Money and Change, among other shows. And we'll get into those here in just a little bit. But we have flagship shows. And this was something that was new. And I just saw that. So I thought I'd bring that one up. Hey, the Brain Trust here at trimradio.com is Michael Bayhouse. He's the founder and CEO and very good guy. I've known Michael for a long time. And he's responsible for the overall vision, mission, and leadership and performance of the entire company. And then we have Roscala Stefan. He is our chief operating officer and computer guru. He's responsible for the day-to-day operational management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality and all that kind of good stuff. And then there's me. I still haven't figured out what I'm supposed to do. It says chief relationship officer, and I guess I'm responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill. Well, hey, I'm a nice guy, and I hope you watch our shows because we've got some good ones, and they're all original shows, so you want to check into that. We've got Victoria Smith. She's our chief marketing officer, responsible for all the marketing activities and brand development and audience growth and all that kind of good stuff. And we all have shows right here on the Trim Radio Network. And Victoria has a really good show on marketing every Thursday. So if your club, your company, your side hustle business, college or university, high school, junior high, whatever, if you need marketing advice, check with Victoria Smith. She's excellent. Well, how can you support us? Well, guess what? We have merchandise, better known as merch. I mean, everybody likes to call things merch. I'm still a little bit on the old side. I call it merchandise, but I bend once in a while and call it merch. But anyhow, we've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got mugs. We've got Money and Change t-shirts, Money and Change mugs or travel mugs with lids. And we have ceramic mugs. We have top 25 premium piqué polo shirts. We've got regular t-shirts and other goodies. You just got to click the button, wait for the boxes to flip. Hey, we've got kids t-shirts. We've got mugs for Offsides and Roscala's Red Pill reality show. And adult t-shirts, and we've got The round mouse pad. You can't corner the mouse on a round mouse pad, can you? And we've got the Trim Creator's dad hat. We've got beanies. We've got ornaments to dangle from trees or whatever. And we also have the Trim Creator's radio rubber case for AirPods. You buy the AirPods and buy our case to keep your AirPods in them. Okay? Whoa. Now, if you want to support us, all you have to do is buy the merchandise. You can donate or you can advertise. We have very good advertising rates. And the money that we get from donations, from the sale of merchandise, and advertising goes right into paying for airtime, because airtime is not cheap. It really isn't. And so we have to pay for our airtime. Now, how do you get a hold of us? Simple. This little red dot over here on the right side. If you click on that, you put your name in, your phone number, and then what you want to do is put in, I want to know more about maybe doing my own show. Very easy to do. And all you have to do is maybe put some more information there, mailing address or whatever you want to put in there, and then hit send message, and somebody will get right back with you. Okay, that's very easy to do. Very easy to contact us, okay? So if you take a look at what we've got, for example, the shows, all of our shows, and yours could be there too. It's very easy to do. Of course, Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. We've got Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas. That's 7 p.m. on Wednesdays at 7:30. We still have Michael Bejas, but at 8 o'clock, we've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And I've been bringing on different guests, and I'll have a whole new round of guests coming in this Wednesday. So you want to stay tuned. We've got, of course, Victoria Smith with the National Marketer Podcast. We've got Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. We have the Positude Podcast on Fridays at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Waits Around the Bend Saturday at 1 p.m. And then we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck every Saturday at 1:30. Okay. And at night, oh boy, we've got Saturday night at 9 p.m. We have the Red Pill Reality Show with Rascala Stefan. And he's on at 9 until midnight. And he does a full 3-hour show. I've been on the show before, as well as other people, and we have had some fun. We've had some good discussions, and it's a good show, trust me. Wow, we've also got Revelation with Peter Kling, and he's on Thursdays. And then we have Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry, and she's on Tuesdays in the afternoon. And your show could be maybe in this blank spot here, or more shows can go there. All you have to do, like I said, is hit the contact us button right there. That's all you do. Hit that red button and let us know what you want to do. If you want to contact us, hit that red button and say, hey, I want to get a hold of Stu. I want to be on his show. Okay. Or I want to donate, whatever. Just let us know. Okay. Very easy thing to do. Then you click the blue button, it sends it off. Well, what else is going on? We have our Facebook page, Money and Change / Financially Prepped. And all you have to do is take a look at that page. You'll see my artificial intelligent mug. Well, not the mug. The mug's down the corner. My face is on there. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's amazing what artificial intelligence will do to you, okay? But if you want to find out what's on the show, check out in the comment section down below. It sounds like a rhyme, doesn't it? But all the topics that we have will be listed there, and it will be for all the shows. You just go back and check the archives, and you will see everything for the show. It's a good deal. So, you know, if you want to find out where the national debt clock is, we've got the links to that. We've got other things going on with gas stations, everything else that we're going to talk about. Okay. So it's right there. So if you miss the show, guess what? When the show is done, it automatically gets uploaded to YouTube. And as soon as I get the link to that, I go ahead and put it on our Money and Change / Financially Prepped page. So it goes right there afterwards. If you miss us on YouTube, we are also on rumble.com. Just look for Prim Radio and our shows will be there. Okay? Very easy thing to do. If you want to join our group, all you have to do is let me know. Hit that little red button in the right-hand side on our regular page, and I'll go ahead and get you in there. Now, one thing, something that's new, and they change things on me all the time, but they've added a poll, so we can now do polls. And so from time to time, you might have a poll there that you can take during the show, okay? But check us out. We're on Facebook. We've been on Facebook for quite a while. And it's fun. And if you don't belong to Facebook, check us out on YouTube and Rumble, okay? A big thing here. Everybody says, you know, it's tornado season. And the other night, I was watching Max Velocity. And Max, his last name really isn't Velocity, but Max was doing a weather show, and he's very accurate, very good, covers the United States, and he talks a lot about the bad weather that's going on, and he was mentioning something like, at one point, there were like 50 tornadoes a couple days ago out in the Midwest, and they started out, of course, in Oklahoma and that area, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and started coming towards Ohio. And I get worried because I've been through three tornadoes and one hurricane. I couldn't reach out and touch them, but I was probably within 300 feet was the closest to a tornado, and I don't like to get that close. So I like to be prepared. And so the Red Cross has a great page. It's redcross.org, O-R-G. And what do you do before a tornado? And there were, at one point, like I said, 53, then it went up to 70-some tornadoes later on. Luckily, we didn't have any here in Western Ohio, where I live, which is great. But like I said, I've been through three. I don't want to go through a fourth, okay? They're interesting to watch, but not fun to be in. So anyhow, you can take a look at everything here. And do you have a kit to be prepared? Checklists. You can get it in English. You can get it in Arabic. You can get it in Burmese. You can get it in French. Hakka Chin, I never heard about that one. Polish? Yeah, I've heard Polish. Spanish, traditional Chinese, whatever. You can download and you can get it there. And the checklist is there for those of you watching right now in English. Okay, here's the checklist. Okay, what you need to do. And you can check that link out. Okay? It's tornado season here in the Midwest, and you got to be prepared. If you're not, you have a problem. And you know, I always tell people, hey, what you need to do is make your own kit. Do you have flashlights? Do you have extra batteries? Do you have bottled water? At least a gallon per person per day. That's the absolute minimum. But I'm going to tell you right now. The latest numbers are you need 3 gallons per person per day. Because you have to clean and you have to drink liquids, okay? So you have to have that. So 3 gallons per person per day. Do you have batteries? Are your tablets charged? How about your laptop? Do you have a backup battery for your laptop in case you need that? Do you have your records together in a folder that you can take with you? Put it on a thumb drive. Be prepared. Do you have food? Do you have food that you don't have to cook with? Or do you have things that you can cook food on because you may not have electricity for a stove. So you might need propane. You might need a sun oven, whatever. How about communication? If the cell towers go out, your cell phones won't work. Landlines could go down. That's why I've been telling people for quite a while now, get yourself a GMRS radio, General Mobile Radio Service radio, okay? This is an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. What the heck is that? Well, with this, I can talk to a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, 35 miles away, get on a repeater, and I can talk out 90 miles beyond that. And I check it every week. I'm not on every night, but I check it every week and to see who I can talk with up and down I-75. I've gone as far over as past Columbus, Ohio, and I've been over into Indiana and Connersville. I've been down to almost to Cincinnati, and as far up as about Fort Wayne, Indiana. So these are good radios. These are not bubble wrap radios that you get at Wally World, better known as Walmart. You won't get these there. This comes from buytwowayradios.com or buytwowayradios.com. Yeah. There are a lot of other sources. Trust me, I don't get paid for talking about these things. I like to have them because in an emergency, they're really good. Trust me. And they also have FM radios in them. And you can listen to the radio stations. They also have, some of them have NOAA weather radio. It's really good. But getting back to the subject here, you got to be prepared. And that's what I'm telling everybody, because with the bad weather, you have to be prepared, period. Because if you're not prepared, the government's not going to help you. You're on your own for quite a while until help suddenly arrives. Take a look at what happened down in New Orleans when they had the hurricane that hit down there. It took several days to get things organized. And yeah, it was a big hurricane. But if you weren't prepared, you were in trouble, deep trouble. Okay. And people in Florida, they know about hurricanes and stuff. I went through one down there myself. So, you know, you got to be prepared. And, you know, when we talk about money here on Money and Change, I always tell everybody, pay down your debt. Don't get into debt. If you do, pay it off as soon as possible. Put some money aside. Set up an emergency fund. I don't care if you put away $5 a week, $20 a week, $100 a week. Put it in a special fund where you are not going to be spending it. And if you need to repair your car or, you know, get a new appliance or food or water, whatever, pay your rent even, you can do that out of an emergency fund. And people say, well, how much do you need? Well, to start off with, I would say at minimum $1,000 and maybe up to $3,000 if you can do it over a period of 6 months, save it up. Because when the ATMs don't work, you're still going to have to buy food. The other thing is start buying long-term food, canned goods, dried pastas, and putting those into storage. Buy some blue tarps for your roof in case the roof blows off during a really bad storm. Make sure you have the right clothes for the season. Make sure you have battery backups. Make sure you have your medications. And that's a big thing. Make sure you have your medications if you need them, okay? A lot of things to consider. So pay down your debt, buy some long-term food. Put some money aside. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure you have a good first aid kit too, and not one of those little ones that they have 500 bandages and you open it up and it's 500 band-aids and that's about it. And maybe a tube of some type of solution you put on a cut. You need something better than that, okay? Make sure you have those tarps. Make sure you have your food and your clothing and so forth, and build a good kit. You can go to Red Cross and they will have a list of things that you can get. Another source is LDS.com. And you can get things from there. They have all kinds of lists. Okay. So that's something to take a look at. Whoa. We got to get into the rest of the show, don't we? Well, let's hit the magic button here and we will go and start with what we need to talk about, because if we don't, we'll run out of time. How about ditch the sanitizer and exercise your immune system? Yeah, that was in Zero Hedge. How many people during COVID went out and bought a whole bunch of sanitizer, hand sanitizer? I know I did. And they put such a scare into everybody. And a lot of it was not necessary. Because if you wash your hands with a good antibacterial soap, or you use just any soap and you wash your hands very well in hot water, or if it's cold water, you wash your hands longer. But that takes care of the bacteria. And in a lot of cases, hand sanitizers don't really work. So Joel Salatin at Epoch Times was talking about it. He said, bugs, viruses, and sicknesses, these maladies creep into countless conversations as people wrestle with the question, how do I strengthen my immune system? You know, everybody says, well, I'll just get hand sanitizer. I'll pour some alcohol on my hands. How about a spray bottle with peroxide? That's one of the best you can get, and it's the cheapest too. And they say, well, maybe a pill or a needle or some kind of medical treatment, you know, I might need it. So how do I sanitize everything? And wash your hands. And that's what you need, okay? And so, you know, people groups who cultivated close relationships with domestic farm animals develop better immune systems. Because you're around animals, you're around dirt, you're around things on a farm. And you pick up these little bugs and so forth. As long as you clean your hands and clean your food before you eat, before you do anything, you're going to be fine. You don't need a lot of hand sanitizer. You know, I remember riding someplace in a car and people started putting hand sanitizer on because we were going to go into a restaurant, or they were germaphobes and they were going to go someplace, and it's the stuff stunk up the car. And I'd almost think if you lit a match, the car would explode. I mean, it was, that stuff was potent. So anyhow, you can read that article on your own. Hey, when you take a look at the debt clock, and you say, well, why do you look at the debt clock? Because you can see how deep in debt we're actually getting. If you look at the national debt right now, it's $39 trillion and climbing. It's actually $39,139,183,000,000 and zooming from there. That's $113,913 per citizen. Now, for taxpayer, that's $357,069 per taxpayer. Do you have that laying around? No, neither do I. So, how did we get there? Well, the government likes to spend your money. And, like I always say, they spend like drunken sailors. But, you know, anymore, sailors know when to quit because they run out of money. And really, anymore, they're not allowed to drink. Okay. So that's an interesting thing on itself. I just read that the other day. They're really not supposed to go out and get hammered, if you know what I mean. But, you know, the U.S. debt clock is fantastic. There's a lot of data here, and it's supposedly real time. And there's a lot of information here, a lot. And you can even check it out for your state. So check it out, usdebtclock.org. Wow, gas prices. I was looking just before the show, and I said, "What are we going to run into with gas prices? Because it's going up and down and up and down." And you pull into—I don't care if you go to Murphy's or you go to Wawa, Way Way, whatever, or Sheetz or Buc-ee's. What's the gas prices? And when it gets up to $4 a gallon, people go, "Man, I can't afford to go to work with this." And if I do, can I afford to eat? So I went ahead and did artificial intelligence just to see what I could pull up before the show. And it said, as of mid-April 2026, the U.S. national average gas prices are over $4 a gallon, while diesel prices have surged, with some reporting showing nearly $5.60 a gallon due to geopolitical tensions. Diesel prices are rising faster than gasoline, and prices are expected to remain high into 2027. So what's that going to do to your food prices? Because, gee, semis use diesel. And they're delivering all of our food to the grocery stores. I mean, how many deliveries a day does Walmart get in your local Walmart store? They could have probably 10 deliveries a day. Kroger's, a local Kroger's might have five, maybe six. And what happens if they couldn't afford the gas and they couldn't bring anything to supply the store? How long would the store last? 3 days. That's the latest, is 3 days. That's why you prepare. That's why you build up your food supplies at home. And if you don't, who's going to save you? Social services through the churches and other agencies might be able to help you for maybe a couple of weeks. But if everybody's going to the same place, it's going to go by very quickly. So you need to go out and you need to buy your canned goods. You need to buy your freeze-dried. You have to have a way to store things, maybe in freezers if you got freezers. Dry goods and so forth. You have to think ahead. Now, the national average gasoline is approximately $4.04, almost 5 cents per gallon regular. National average of diesel is over $5.50. Now, a friend of mine has several diesel vehicles, and he's only driving them to do his different jobs around the area. To go to work, he drives a Tesla, and he can charge his Tesla at home, and he uses the dryer connector. And he disconnects the dryer and then plugs in his Tesla there. And so far, it costs him about $25 a month to drive that Tesla. And that thing can go from 0 to 60 in about 2 seconds. I've seen him do it. Average in Ohio, average local regular is around $3.70. And diesel's up to 5.35 a gallon. So you have to take a look at what's going on. The Middle East tensions, and are the tankers getting through the Strait of Hormuz? Basically, from Iran, we only get about 20% of our gas. Just 20%. The rest of it is all US based. So we're better off than a lot of countries. Okay. Well, let's see what. But I have a video here. Watch this one.
War continues to cause major disruptions in the global energy market. Prices of crude oil and global natural gas remain stubbornly high, even after an initial ceasefire agreement. Here in the U.S., drivers across the country are feeling the pinch, but one state in particular is really struggling with the oil disruption.
California is seeing the most pain of any state when it comes to the pump. In fact, some areas of California now, San Francisco, the Bay Area, the first area to ever see an $8 price tag for an average gallon of diesel.
We live in a privileged continent with very cheap natural gas and cheap oil compared to the rest of the world. But we can't get by thinking that we can be self-sufficient and the rest of the world doesn't matter.
Oil experts are saying that the conflict in the Middle East is shining a light on cracks in California's energy market. Here's how we got there. Californian drivers are already seeing gas prices climb well past $6 per gallon in some areas.
California is perennially the highest state in the nation when it comes to gasoline prices.
Now, there are a lot of compounding factors that keep Californians' gas prices higher than the national average.
California has the nation's highest gasoline taxes. It has a cap and investor, cap and trade program that basically charges refineries to be able to produce refined products to emit air pollution in the process of creating those products. California also has a low carbon fuel standard, which adds to the price motorists pay. It is a special CARB mandated blend of gasoline, whereas much of the rest of the states are under jurisdiction by the EPA.
But now, amid the global supply disruption, there's a larger issue looming over the state, where its crude oil comes from.
California has really put a moratorium on new drilling for oil, so its own oil production has plummeted, but now relies on the few external sources of oil.
Almost 75% of California's crude oil is imported from foreign countries, and more than a quarter of those shipments come from Middle Eastern countries, including Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and the UAE.
There weren't any pipelines to take product from elsewhere in the United States into California. So they're dependent on waterborne transmission.
And that oil has fewer refineries to go to after several shutdowns. Currently, California has 12 refineries, and of those, only 8 produce that state-approved CARB gasoline blend.
In the last 6 months, kind of a turn in the chapter is that California, through a lot of these rules and regulations, has seen permanent shutdown of 2 major refineries that traditionally contribute about 20% of the state's overall gasoline production.
And it's not just crude oil that California is importing. The state also depends on imports to shore up its supply of refined products like gasoline and diesel.
The diesel prices in California now are above $7.50 a gallon. A typical truck on the road gets about 7 miles per gallon. Think about your hauling almonds from, let's say, the Central Valley to Los Angeles, and every mile you travel, you're throwing a dollar bill out the window.
A tightening jet fuel market could also have far-reaching impacts for the state, with airlines feeling the pinch.
Airports like LAX and SFO are probably in a situation of tightness because there's simply not going to be enough jet fuel. If people can't fly into California, the economy can't run. This will start to have a massive negative impact on California's economy.
The bottom line here is that with each passing day, the backlog in the Strait of Hormuz grows, compounding the energy crunch that's hitting all areas of the globe.
Yeah. Well, what happens inside the gas stations? Well, here's what happens inside the gas stations when the gas hits $4. And this came out of Zero Hedge. And it says, in the Goldman's first quarter nicotine nuggets survey of retailers and wholesalers covering roughly 44,000 U.S. stores, or about 28% of all tobacco outlets nationwide, analysts observed that once the national average for regular 87-octane gasoline hit the sensitive $4 a gallon level, the squeeze on the consumers began to emerge. And one of the clearest signs of stress was the downshift in purchases as budget-conscious consumers started pulling back on tobacco purchases, or in some cases, trading down, getting the cheaper brands. Wouldn't that go for other things in the convenience stores? So instead of going back and getting an expensive 2-liter bottle of soda, or as they say here in the Midwest, pop, or going and getting some expensive candy bars or other snacks, they don't do it. They cut back in what they are purchasing. And so those stores notice a decrease in income. And some of the things that they have are dated, so they can only have them so long. and then they have to get rid of them. In some cases, all they do is lower the prices the closer it gets to the expiration date. But you take a look at this, you know, Exhibit 20 here. Retail gasoline prices remain elevated relative to historicals, and regular grade gasoline retail price per gallon is showing that, okay, per gallon and versus per barrel. And so right now, it's a little under $100 a barrel. And Exhibit 21, most retailers notice changes in consumer behavior as a result of the prices reaching $4. A lot of people are shopping around different places. And if I can get it down the street from Murphy's, 2 cents cheaper, I'll go down there. And sometimes you build up enough points where you can knock off 10 cents a gallon or more, depending on where you go. Especially if you buy a lot of stuff at Kroger's, you can build up significant savings there. But as prices go up in gasoline, people aren't going to be buying as much. They're not going out to eat as much. You know, if you go into a fast food place, you notice that, for example, you go into Wendy's. We used to have a very busy Wendy's. And now when I go there, they are not that busy. They're busy through the drive-thru, but not that many people eating inside. And the place is clean. They have good staff and everything, but people just aren't eating out as much. And that's going around to a lot of different places. And the mom and pop restaurants, they're even having a bite because people aren't coming in. Just take a look the next time you go out to eat sometime, or you go into a convenience store when you're buying gasoline. How many people are actually buying things? Well, these are the U.S. cities where no one can afford a large home. And I put the link so you can go to that. But on the East Coast, New York City presents a different kind of affordability challenge. While the cost per square foot to purchase a home is significantly lower than in California's top markets, rental prices are the highest in the nation, more than $3,600 a month. And I've known people that have property out in California, and they own a home and they sell it for, let's say, $1.5 million, and they move to Ohio and they pay cash for their next home, which is about $500,000. So then what do they do with the remainder? They can do a lot of things, okay? Because land value in California is way overpriced. It's way overpriced in New York. And I got another story about New York too. We'll do that. But San Francisco average house price is $1.24 million. In San Francisco, and San Jose, it's $1.43 million. In New York, it's only $790,000. Boston, it's $768,000. In Miami, it's $578,000. Seattle, it's $850,000. It's that West Coast syndrome. The weather's nice, but I'll tell you what. The prices out there are out of sight, not only for gasoline and diesel, it's also for homes. Read the article. It's on our Facebook page, down in the comment section. Mandami. The Mandami Mart exposes the inefficiency of socialism in one chart. And remember that Mandami happens to be, or Mandani, happens to be the mayor. Zoran Mandani proposed a city-owned grocery store in East Harlem, and it would require roughly $30 million in taxpayer money. Okay, so who's paying the price? The taxpayers, right? $30 million. And it's a 9,000 square foot store. And basically, the construction cost, according to the article, was about $3,000 per square foot. Well, then, if you look at the chart, the most expensive affordable grocery ever is Mandani's Mart. Beneath that is HEB. Now, HEB, if I remember right, is out kind of like in the Midwest. Maybe it's Utah, out in that area. Whole Foods per square foot is about $357 to $595 per square foot. Mandami is $3,333 per square foot. Aldi's, everybody has Aldi's around anymore. It's $250 per square, up to $400 per square. And you take a look at Kroger, it's about $250 to $333 per square feet. And then you have Publix Markets. And Publix Markets are at between $220 up to $400 per square foot. And I'll tell you what, out of all of those, and I've shopped at Kroger's, I've shopped at Aldi's, I've shopped at Whole Foods, I've never been to HEB, and I'm never going to go to Mandani's Market. I've been to Publix, and I loved it. They're down in Florida in the South. And I'll tell you what, great produce, great customer service. I wish we had them here in Ohio. The farthest north that they've gotten is about the middle of Kentucky. It's a great grocery chain. It really is. And everybody gets a cut of the profits. That's amazing. Well, anyhow, you know, you pay $3,333 a square foot and you say, well, it's New York. Well, it's not going to work anyplace else. And who's footing the bill? The public is, the taxpayer. Hey, I always talk about the University of Findlay. I have to talk about Findlay sports. You know, I always tell you about www.findlay.edu. It's a good school. It's located in Findlay, Ohio. It's an NCAA Division II school. But I'll tell you what, they've got first-class professors and very good facilities. And they have over 85 degrees for bachelor degrees. And I believe they have 15 master's degrees and 5 doctoral programs. Very good facilities. They have 3 campuses. One is the equestrian campus, and that's also pre-veterinarian studies there. They have the hazardous materials campus, which not too many schools in the United States have, but they do. And they also have the main campus. And I'll tell you what, it's a nice campus with about 4,000 students. And I'll tell you what, the professors are great. The president, Dr. Kathy Fell, she's retiring. She's been fantastic. They've got very good sports programs there. Very friendly students, and you have a lot of international students there. They're all over the world. I remember I had people that I knew from Israel. I knew people from Jordan. I knew people from Kenya, Ghana, South America. It's kind of an international school. It's very good. Fantastic place. But they also have sports. And I don't really talk about their sports that much. But you take a look at the President's Cup. Hey, highest score, number one. NCAA swimming national champions. 2026, national champs. You ever hear of a Division II school doing that? Hey, golf. Great Midwest Athletic Conference champions. Fantastic ladies golf team. Ladies softball, they are fantastic. They're on a hitting streak. They're something else. Got a lot of good people. Track team, okay. Lacrosse, tennis. They don't play tiddlywinks. They have all kinds of good sports. And these are just a few of them. So you can imagine how good these people are. Check them out. University of Findlay. Their spring game was just this last week, and the football team and new coach and everybody is getting together on the field and having a good time. Parents came up to watch it, and I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to going up there for that. So check out the University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. Okay, they're on Facebook too. You can check them out. What else is going on? American Airlines shuts down United merger talk as Wells Fargo signals another possible tie-up. Well, this was in Zero Hedge. Certainly past week saw several key stories to look at in the aviation world, you know, and the first came the story that Spirit Airlines could be liquidated at any moment. Well, the price of jet fuel is up and it's getting scarce for airlines. And so they're worried about different things. Anyhow, Wells Fargo analyst Christian Weatherby told clients that the American United merger was unlikely, but on his radar was an opportunity for United and Delta. I don't know about that. It's a possibility. Delta has bought out several other airlines, and I think that Delta would probably buy out United. I know I've flown on both. My preference is Delta because I hate sitting on a tarmac in Chicago for 3 hours waiting to go to Columbus, Ohio. I remember that when that was a nightmare for me. But watch for mergers, okay? The big airlines will probably gobble up some small ones. They always do. Oh, hey, a vicious treasury market emergency at our doorstep. You know, I told everybody to set up a deal where they have some money set aside. If we ever have a problem with banks, and they say we're going to have a banking holiday for a week, you better have some cash at home to pay your bills. And what happens if that holiday lasts for more than a week? Maybe it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks. What are you going to do? Oh, I'll just use my credit card. Well, hey, they may not work. And then how are you going to pay? That's why I say pay down your debt, put some money aside, because cash still talks. So remember that one. You can read this article, and basically it's QTR's Fringe Finance was the source, and that was on Zero Hedge. I've got the links, so you want to check that out. But be very watchful as to the banks, especially the big banks. Make sure that you know your banker like your best buddy. Because if there's going to be a problem and you need to have money at home or in a special savings place with lock and key, if you know what I mean, you want to do that. Nobody knows when the banks are going to pull any type of stunt, like having a bank holiday. You don't know. And you could read bankrate.com. You could go to FDIC and look at failed bank rates. I mean, I followed that for a few years. And there were a lot of banks being bought out by other banks because they didn't have the liquidity to run the bank, bad loans and so forth. So keep your eye on the markets and act accordingly. You know, you can go talk to a banker on the side and say, hey, you know, what's going on? They may tell you, they may not. So that means you may have to go to the internet and start looking up different things. And FDIC, failed banks, that's something to take a look at, okay? But keep some cash in a safe place so that if the banks are closed and you cannot use your credit card, you will be able to buy food, you will be able to buy gasoline, okay? Cash still talks. New York State loses $73 million in federal highway funding over failed CDL revocations. That was Brian Hyde at American Greatness. And he said over $73 million in federal money funds are being withheld from New York State after an audit found more than half the state's commercial driver's licenses, or CDLs, were issued to foreigners illegally. Think about people out west. Think about people in other states. They need that federal money for highways. Well, if they're not abiding by the law, guess what? They're not going to get their money. It's going to be withheld until they comply with the federal rules. Now, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced yesterday that the state failed to revoke illegally issued non-documented commercial learner's permits and commercial driver's licenses. So they're not going to get their funds until they comply. I mean, how many times have you been on the road and there have been people that couldn't speak English, then were driving a truck? How did they get from point A to point B? I had a friend of mine that had to take a car and have it shipped down to Florida. And the person that came to pick it up was from the Ukraine. He didn't speak any English. He used his translator on his phone. And that's how they communicated back and forth. Well, this car eventually got down to Florida. It was amazing. The one thing retirees regret, I've got a minute and a half. I think we can do this one.
Half of recent retirees say their biggest regret is not saving enough. Walk us through that one.
Oh, yeah. What a surprise, right? You know, it's like that's what they're telling. I mean, this is another report I looked at this week, and it's just going like, oh, my goodness. You know, these are people who retired. They looked at people who retired in the last 5 years, right? Now, Josh, let's think about it. It's been kind of a crazy bunch of years here. You know, there's been high inflation. We've had a pretty volatile stock market. So people are understandably nervous, but they looked at retirees who have stepped out in the last 5 years, and they're going like, I don't have enough. If I had talked to my younger self, I would have said, save more, or don't expect you're going to be able to work as long as you actually want to. And these are very real feelings. This is not to take lightly. And I think that what happens is, and what this study shows is people who are getting nervous like this, especially these new retirees, they're actually starting to pay attention to their investment portfolios, which is fine on one hand, but they're making changes. And we all know that often might not be your best move to go shifting things around just when things are a bit rocky. And the important things everyone needs to remember when you're nearing retirement, you've absolutely got to have paid attention to your cash reserves, what your asset allocation is in your portfolio, and what your withdrawal strategy is, how much you think you can take out each year. This can change, but at least have an idea of what you're doing, because these first few years are super critical to your financial success down the road, that having this stretch out and last as long as possible.
More than a minute.
Yeah, that's Carrie. And I always like to see her because she's very knowledgeable on everything. Wow, what else is going on here? Do we have time for one more? Let's see. I don't know. We might. Money secrets that can take you from debt to millionaire. And I think that's about 5 minutes long. Well, guys, I don't know. Let's see if we can. No, it's only 2 minutes.
Below, they're asking.
It's 2 minutes and 14. We have time. We can do this one. So I'll just back this one up and we'll start.
3% of sellers think they will get their asking price or more. Now that is optimistic. What do you make of that?
In order to decide to put your home on the market, you've got to think that you're going to price it right. And that's what that data really shows us. Those shares are actually very similar to what we saw at this time last year. So roughly half of sellers expect to get their asking price, and a little more than a third expect to get above their asking price. A much smaller share are actually expecting to get below their asking price. So sellers are going in with some high expectations. This survey that we did of sellers that gave us those numbers also showed that sellers are expecting a little bit more reasonable terms when it comes to the contract itself. So even though they have high expectations on getting their asking price, they do show that they are more likely to expect to have to make a concession to buyers this year compared to last year.
Right now, mid-April, this is the best time to sell. How come? What makes this window so special?
It's an opportunity because most sellers are not yet in the housing market. It's usually not until May that we get to the peak new listing time period for sellers. In the meanwhile, a lot of buyers start their home search earlier. If they've got a rent lease that's up maybe in the spring, they want to get in the market. As a result, we look at the number of buyers per listing. It is really at peak levels at this time of year. So that makes it a really good time for sellers to get into the market. They can expect higher than average prices, a relatively quick sale, and have a less likelihood of having to make price cuts in order to get their home sold if they list in this best week.
I want to end here actually on a 30-year fix. Per Mortgage News Daily, I'm just looking here, we're at 6.29. Where do you see that headed, Danielle, over, let's, you know, call it 6-12 months from here?
I expect a little bit more stability this year than we've seen in the past couple of years on mortgage rates. And so I think we'll see them in the low 6% range. That's about where we were before the Iran conflict. We actually got just below 6%. So we could see mortgage rates settle just below 6% if we get a really complete resolution to that conflict. But I think it's going to continue to be a wild card that'll keep rates just above the 6% mark through the rest of this year.
Yeah. And with that, well, we have a lot of stuff. I just have a blank screen and I don't know what is causing that. Lately, I've had an update from Microsoft that has messed everything up. It really has. I don't know why, but it does. Every time they do an update, it really messes everything up. And this last time I had a situation where the screen goes totally blank and then kicks back in. And then I have a timer and all of a sudden the screen goes totally black because every 20 minutes it times out. And I had to go through and research that. It drives me nuts. And one of these days, Microsoft, I swear, I'm going to change to Linux. And if I can do it, I will. And I will not use Microsoft stuff as much as I can. That's a warning. Well, anyhow, guys, thanks for watching Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. Next week, I do have a concert next Sunday. So I will be putting an encore edition on our Facebook page, and you can watch one of our past editions that I put up there, okay? This will be the first concert of six this year. So you get a break from me next week. Anyhow, have a good week. Save your money. Put some money aside. Buy your long-term food and start preparing because things could get a little dicey, okay? Don't say I didn't tell you. With that, have a good week, and we will see you Wednesday on My World, and I'll even have some guests on that one. We'll have some fun, too. See ya.